Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our custom is, I'd like to ask this morning if anyone here has some special requests or some thanksgiving and would like to come forward. The rest now will kneel for our family prayer. Lord, we come again this morning with thanksgiving for the fact that we have life and that you've given us the Sabbath and that we can worship you this morning. We thank you for the events of the past week, which were glorious in our sight. The rain, the sunshine, the cooling breeze. We thank you for these things along with your watch care and your keeping of us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to worship you in freedom and in peace. And we thank this morning of those who can't do it, who this morning hear bombs and gunfire and all the things that are tearing this world apart. We pray this morning for our servicemen in these difficult areas. We think of them because they're ours, but we need to think of the innocent people who are losing their lives and who don't understand what's going on. And we pray that you'll touch hearts this morning, that people will realize the devastation that they're doing to their own. This morning we think of our own here in the Midland Church. We have those in the hospital who have had surgery. We have elderly who are at home because they can't come. We have young people who are disinterested because church and religion isn't the thing anymore. We pray for all of them as well as for ourselves, even though we're here this morning kneeling and praying and seeking your guidance and your wisdom and your healing hand and all those things that you freely give. We also realize that we're sinful people and that if it wasn't for your sacrifice on the cross and your plan of redemption, that this morning would be a futile effort on our part. We pray for the pastor this morning as he brings a message to us. May we gain the blessing that's there for us. May it be something that betters our lives, something that draws us closer to you. We ask now that you'll be with those who have come forward, who have a special petition for you, or who have thanksgiving. We pray that you'll hear those things that we send heavenward now. Lord, you have heard our prayers and our thanksgivings. We pray that you'll do as you see divinely fit, that you'll answer those prayers in the best way, in the best interests of those who send them to you. We thank you for the blessings of life, for this opportunity to worship, and we pray now that you'll be with us as we continue our service this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Are you praying for somebody every day? Is there somebody on your prayer list? Would you like to share anything?
I'm praying for Jesus.
I have to tell you a story. I've just been to Portugal, and that's where all my family lives. And I had been praying for a very long time for my family that don't know Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize that Jesus himself is answering our prayer. And one day, I was visiting my aunt and my uncle, and there was a knock at the door. So we went to see who was there, and there stood four little children saying, "You know, we're scared. the gas in our house is just leaking and it's just dripping down on the floor and the house smelled so strong. And I think you all know that gas can be a very dangerous thing, right? So we said to them, don't worry, we'll call the fire... I don't know how to say it in English. Like the people that... the firefighters, but in Lisbon, when you're in trouble, you call them for all different things, not just to fight fire. So we said, we'll call them, and they'll come and check, and they'll put safety back in your house. In the meantime, these children stayed there for 3 or 4 hours while the house is being cleaned up. And you know, I didn't realize why this had happened, but all of a sudden, in my head, was a voice telling me, I think it was Jesus reminding me, do you remember praying for your family? Watch and see. I'm answering your prayer right now. Because as they sat there with my uncle and my aunt, they started telling us how they are Christians and how they believe in Jesus. And so they started to tell us how it makes a difference in their life every day. How it makes them kinder, how it gives them more patience, how they fight less with each other. And I was just watching how it had been years that I had been praying for them, and here before my eyes, these children were telling my uncle and my aunt how Jesus made such a difference in their lives. Isn't that exciting? That's why I was asking you, who are you praying for? You mustn't give up. For me, it had been 19 years since I had seen my family. And here God gave me a creative time where I could see that Jesus was answering my prayer. You know, I'm looking here at your little story bulletins. It's called Safe in the Storm. And you know, I was thinking, I traveled thousands of miles to get to Portugal, and there was several times where the plane was just shaking so much. It's called turbulence. That's what the adults call it. And I get a little frightened up there. I'd rather have my feet on the ground. But do you know that each time I would say, God, here we go again. Please, will you smooth my ride? It would stop. And then later on, it would start again, and the plane would just be shaking and tossing. And I'd say, God, please, would you soothe my heart? And the plane would stop again. We'd have a smooth ride. So as you read your bulletin today, Safe in the Storm, remember that Jesus wants to give you safety, whether you're on the ground, whether you're on the air, and He's with you and He cares for you. And don't forget to pray. And go back to your seat.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, the first verse. It's very short, but I think it kind of says it all. Then He spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Oh, for that flame of living fire. Didn't you like that hymn? What a beautiful hymn. And I love the words that it says. Oh, for that flame of living fire, which shone so bright in saints of old, which bade their souls to heaven aspire, calm in distress, in danger bold. Don't you like that? And then it goes through and it talks about Paul and about David and Moses and Job and all these great men of the Bible, and takes us back to the experiences that they went through and how God took them through. Then it ends in verse 5, remember, Lord, the ancient days. Renew thy work, thy grace restore, and while to thee our hearts we raise, on us thy Holy Spirit pour. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Something that we can pray not just today on the Sabbath as we're here to worship, but every day. Pray that the Lord will inspire us with that same spirit that dwelt in the saints of old. Well, our scripture text today was Luke 18 and verse 1. I hope you still have your Bibles open and you're looking at that now. But Luke chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus here is about to tell a parable to teach a very, very important lesson. Luke 18 and verse 1, it says, Then he spoke a parable to them. Then means that he was following up something else that he had just been teaching. And he says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart.
It's so easy to lose heart, isn't it, when we pray? Sometimes we're praying for things for years and years and years. Maybe it's for someone who needs to come to the Lord for salvation. Perhaps it's just a difficult life situation, a health problem, whatever it might be. It's so easy to lose heart because the answer doesn't seem to be coming. But Jesus says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. It is very interesting that this passage here follows on from Jesus teaching what the end of time is going to be like. The time of trouble, a time of turmoil, a time where people are going to be tested severely. And he talks about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Keep your eyes focused on the kingdom where God is leading you. Don't look back. And so he's telling us here that in the context of the soon return of Jesus Christ, that we should pray always and not lose heart. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we will go through. And he knows the strength, the courage, and everything that he will give us if we will be persevering in prayer. But if I'm honest, and I want to be honest, I have to admit that I lose heart sometimes. Sometimes I don't see answers coming, and perhaps I give up praying for a particular individual, someone, because I've prayed for such a long time and nothing seems to be happening, and I feel like I need to use my time to pray for someone else where maybe something is happening. But I don't believe that that is what God is saying. I believe that he's saying that we must always pray and never lose heart. Always pray and never give up. While there's life, there's hope. God is the God of the impossible. God is able to do what we cannot do. He's our creator. He made us. He knows everything that is for our good. You know, we can't begin to imagine his wisdom that he has, creating this complex universe right down to the minutest atom, and everything works harmoniously together. He has the wisdom. But not only does he have wisdom, but he has an infinite love. The love that was demonstrated on Calvary for us. Imagine all his wisdom and the love that he has for us, what he is able to do. He can solve any problem that we have. Nothing is too hard for him. All he needs to do is speak the word and it will be done. But when we pray to him, sometimes it makes a difference. The way we view ourselves in relationship to him. As to our own faith and as to whether he is answering our prayer or not. You know, we are so limited. And that's why we pray, because we are so limited. But sometimes we don't realize how unlike God we really are, how sinful and how faulty we are, how many mistakes we are making continually. You know, our pride and our selfishness, all these things sometimes we seem to be oblivious to, and we just come boldly to God and tell him our requests without first humbling our hearts, without first confessing our sins, without first clearing the way for him to be able to answer. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul in one of his epistles says that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we ask something of God, is he able to do it? Yes, he is. He's able to answer in a much greater way than even we begin to ask. There was an experience that my wife and I had 10 years ago that really spoke to me about this. And I have shared it, maybe not in the sanctuary, but in another setting, than some of you may have heard it before. But we were in Canada. It was 10 years ago. I had just graduated from college. My wife had been working for 2 years, but we needed to renew our visas. And every single thing that possibly, thing that could go against us was happening. We got into Canada. They wouldn't give us an appointment at the embassy. They told us we had to call a 1-900 number. Everything was working against us. Then we only had very, very limited cash. We thought we were going to need to return to the States, make the appointment, and then come back 3 or 4 weeks later when we could get an appointment. We get to the border crossing, and they wouldn't let us back into the States because my visa had expired. We had nowhere to stay, nowhere to go. We were in an impossible situation. So what should we do? Well, praise God. We had some friends that had loaned us some tapes to listen to on our journey. And it was a week of prayer series by Elder Glenn Kuhn. And it was on prayer. And one of the messages that he was talking about was based on Philippians 4:19, where God says that he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we had been listening to this, and here we get into a situation where we have a great need. And so what did we do? We took that promise, we opened the Word of God, we read it, and then we prayed. And we said, Lord, we have nowhere to go. My wife was panicking. She was in a frenzy over it because it was, you know, it was really a worry. But we prayed and we said, Lord, you promised to supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. We need somewhere to stay. We need you to be able to work out all these details. And so we laid it at his feet. Within that same day, he came through mightily. He provided a place for us to stay. Not only did he provide a place for us to stay for free, but he, this dear old widow, she fed us as well, and she wouldn't take a penny for it. And she took care of us for that, for those 3 weeks. But I don't have time to tell you all the details, but the Lord provided me with a job during those 3 weeks so that I could earn some money. And even though we were there, everything still seemed to be working against us because the embassy sent us a letter saying, you have to go back to your own country and apply for the visa there. But we had an appointment, so we thought, we're going to go ahead and at least go to the appointment, and then if they tell us we have to go, then that'll be a big problem because Irene would have to go to Portugal and I'd have to go to New Zealand. But anyway, we were waiting there, not knowing what was going to happen. We get to the embassy, we park in the parking lot. We'd had trouble through traffic and all kinds of things, obstacles for us being there on time to the appointment. We park. We couldn't find a park, and we had to go blocks and blocks away from it. It was getting closer and closer to the time. We get to this. The only place we could find a park was in a liquor store parking area. And we thought, well, we're just going to have to park here and run. So we parked the car. We're running away from the car to the embassy. And as we were running, I said to Irene, do you have a certain document? She says, no, I thought you had it. And I said, no, I don't have it. I had to turn around and run back to the car. When I get back to the car, there's a policeman, or not a policeman, some parking attendant that's writing me a ticket. And he said, don't you know you're not supposed to park here? And I said, yes, I know, but we're so late, and if you have to write us a ticket, we'll just have to pay it. And so anyway, we ran, we got there. There were so many other things like photos. We were supposed to have a color photo, not a black and white. We had black and white. We were going to get the color photo in the basement of the embassy where they had a place you could do it. But we were so late, we didn't have time to get that. We got up there, and it was amazing how God worked. They didn't worry that we were about 10 minutes late. They didn't worry that we had black and white photographs. And they accepted our application. They had us wait for a little bit, and then they came back and they told us that they had issued us with a 5-year visa, which was the maximum that they could issue, and everything just came together. All our worrying was for nothing, and we had prayed and claimed the promise that God would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. And so it made me think that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, we just have a trouble believing that, don't we? We doubt because we think, that's not possible. That's not possible. But you know, I believe that there is a science to prayer. We're told there is a science to prayer. And it's good to know the science of prayer, because when we know the science of prayer, we can apply the principles. And when we apply the principles, then God is going to answer. Isn't that right? You know, one of the interesting things, as I did a little bit of study for this message, as I looked in the Gospels about what Jesus taught about prayer. The very first time he mentions prayer is in Matthew 5:44. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Of course, this is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, where he's shared the Beatitudes and other teachings that we hold dear. Matthew 5:44, this is the first time he talks about praying that I found. Perhaps there's something else that I've overlooked. But in Matthew 5:44, he says this, "But I say to you, love your enemies, Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Isn't that interesting that that's his first mention of prayer? And then if you go down to verse 46, he says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" So what Jesus is really saying, if you only love those who love you, if you don't love your enemies and those who are despitefully using you and so forth, what reward or what answer to prayer can you expect if you don't first forgive and ask God to help you love your enemies? You see, I think what God is telling us right here, what Jesus is saying, you have to be born again. You have to surrender your life to Him. We can't just come boldly into His presence with all our sins and all our baggage and just say, "Lord, I need you to do this," and expect that He's going to do it. You know, I think sometimes when a person is on their way to the Lord and they're ignorant and God is working to bring them to salvation, perhaps He answers some prayers like that, just to reveal Himself. But as a general principle for us as Christians who are called by His name, He says here, love your enemies. I believe that the Bible's very clear in this. It says in Isaiah that our sins separate us from God. In Proverbs it says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear. So these things are things that block our prayers somehow from ascending to Him. And it's kind of like a cell phone. Most of us have cell phones today. And sometimes you just get to a place where it's out of range, or you get into a building that kind of blocks the signal from getting through. When we come to God without first humbling our hearts and confessing our sins and so forth, it's kind of like there's a barrier there that is blocking out the signal from getting through. But when we do humble our hearts before Him and confess, it opens the way and we have all the bars showing on the phone and we can get through with good reception. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that we need to have faith too. You know, when we come to God and pray for something, it makes a difference if we believe that He can give to us what we're asking. Hebrews 11 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You see, He is a reward. He loves to answer prayer. I think He loves for us to come to Him. But God is more interested in saving our souls. He wants to bring us into right relationship so He can save us forever. God is full of mercy. And you know, when we come to Him, we have to believe that. I think there are so many people that doubt whether He has forgiven them. And when you doubt God, pretty soon you give up. Pretty soon you lose heart when you doubt. And so it's important that we believe. You know, 1 John 1:9 assures us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, if we doubt, and you know, if we're honest, there are times where we do doubt because we still feel remorse for our sins. And sometimes we think that's guilt and that, you know, maybe God really hasn't forgiven us. But if we keep asking over and over again for God to forgive us for the same sin that we've already confessed and asked Him to forgive, we break one of the principles of prayer. And that is found in Matthew 6 and verse 7. It says there, it's Jesus talking, He says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." You know, when we ask God for forgiveness and He has promised to give it and we believe it, we don't need to go back and say, "Lord, please forgive me." No, He has forgiven you because you've asked and He's promised to do it. And so we must believe it. Jesus said again in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That's a promise. believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Does that mean that we can pray for absolutely anything and God will give it to us? No, it doesn't. In fact, the Bible qualifies this in 1 John 5:14. Here it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So when we pray and we ask for something, if it is according to His will, and we know it's according to His will because we have found the promise and claimed it, just like Irenae and I did with Philippians 4:19, we can know that we have the fulfillment of that promise because we've asked, He's promised it, and He will not lie. He will not withhold it. You know, it's kind of like He's given us a checkbook, but every check is filled out. Who it's written to and how much is written for and so forth. And so when we claim those promises, it's like taking that check and making a purchase. And then we receive what it has been written for. And so God has given us that in His Word. You know, it's interesting that sometimes we feel like we just don't know how to pray right prayers. Especially when we're baby Christians, you know, in prayer meeting just this last week over in Mount Pleasant, there's a lovely Mormon lady who's she's left the Mormon faith and she's studying and she's going to be baptized soon. And anyway, she said, she prayed for the first time publicly, you know, in the prayer meeting. And she said, you know, I really don't know how to pray. And everybody here prays beautiful prayers and I just don't know how to pray. But you know, it doesn't matter whether we know how to be eloquent in prayer, whatever it is. If we pour out our heart to God, He hears, and it doesn't matter. In fact, Jesus taught that the publican that came and beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me," and it probably wasn't a very eloquent prayer. Perhaps he wasn't even very educated, and he couldn't speak real good English. But he poured his heart out to the Lord, and Jesus said he went away justified. But the Pharisee, the educated one who came and said, he said, "I'm glad I'm not like, you know, so-and-so," and kind of puffed himself up. He didn't go away justified. And so God hears our prayers. Doesn't matter how well we can pray. You know, it's interesting, there was a missionary in the mission field, and, he was teaching the heathen about God. And one day he hears this little boy praying, and this little boy, he didn't know how to pray, but he wanted to talk to God and he just didn't know what to say. And so he's kneeling there and he's praying, and the missionary's hearing him and thought, "This is very interesting." And he says, "Dear God," and then he goes, "A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P," and he goes through the alphabet. And after he's finished, the missionary says, What were you doing?" And the boy says, "Well, I don't know how to pray. I didn't know a prayer to say, but I know the great God that you've been telling us about is able to take those letters and make words and answer the very things that I need." And so, you see, it's like that, isn't it? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit does the very thing. Even when we speak to God for things that we think we need, the Holy Spirit takes those words and actually asks for the very things that we really do need. And he does that because the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But you know, through it all, God is able to work all things together for our good. So the end outcome is exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ask or think. That's why sometimes we think God is not answering our prayer. It's not happening how I want it to happen, how I think it should be happening. But really, He's bringing a much better answer that you're going to be thrilled with in the end. And so we need to be patient. We need to trust Him and let Him do what He knows will work. You know, in order to have faith, in order to have the kind of faith that will pray and trust and believe, we need to be often bringing ourselves in contact with the Word. Because it's the Word of God that increases our faith. It's reading about those people of old who walked before us and had experiences, that increases our faith. And not only that, it gives us a knowledge of God's will, so that when we pray, remember the promises that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and we receive it. So how do we find His will? We've got to find it in the Word of God. We've got to find those things. You know, in Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we are coming in contact with God's Word on a daily basis, filling our minds and our hearts with the Scripture, we are able to prove what God's will is. We're able to pray intelligently and know that we are going to receive the answers to our prayers. Hebrews 10:36 tells us that ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So as we're able to prove what God's will is, as we're able to turn our lives to His will and to fulfill His will, it says we need patience because He is going to fulfill His promise. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. It's only the Word of God that can give us the courage so that we don't lose heart. You know, if we only pray and we don't spend time in the Word, we're going to lose heart. But the Word of God gives us the encouragement we need. I heard of a man who every day as he spent time in the Word, and I think this is a good practice and something that I want to endeavor to do. I do pray over Scripture, but what this man would do, he would take the Word of God, and as he would read a verse, he would think about it, and then he would pray about it. He would pray if it applied to himself. He would pray if it applied to others. He would pray whatever the application was, but every verse that he came to, he would chew on it, think about it, and he would pray about it. Isn't that a wonderful way to pray? And I think that that also makes the Word of God part, you know, part of our being. I remember when I was a student missionary in Lithuania, there was a lady there, her name was Genute, and she had just become a brand new Adventist Christian. She was so in love with Jesus, but her life became very, very difficult. I may have shared this with you before. I can't remember if I have, but I want to share it today because it's applicable. She, as a result of making a decision to be baptized and become a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and give her life to Christ, her husband, who was an atheist and was totally against Christianity, said to her, "If you do this thing, I'm going to leave, and our son, seven-year-old son, Jacob, I'm going to take him, and you're not going to ever see him again. So you have a choice." She chose to trust God, and she was baptized. But of course, he went, and he took her son. And she didn't see him, and when I met her, that happened about 6 months prior to this. She was heartbroken, as you can imagine, losing her son. And she spent hours with God, reading His Word and praying to Him, pleading with Him to bring back her son. And she was trying to understand, "I've just given my life to You, and look what's happened." And so she would search the Scriptures for answers, and she was praying. Well, time went by. I think it was nearly a year went by. And she gets a phone call from her son, and he wanted to come home and see her. Of course, he was missing his mother, and he had been at his father to let him go home and see his mother. So finally, he comes home, but his father had been saying to him, "The reason why you don't live with your mother is because she has followed this strange, you know, religion, and that has caused the separation in our family." And he made him believe that Christianity was a terrible thing that destroyed people's lives and destroyed families and so forth. And so he was believing this. And so he comes home, and now this is the center of her life. And every time she would pray, every time she had visitors over from, you know, other Christians and so forth, he would make such a scene that it became quite traumatic for her, because he hated this Christianity. But through it all, she loved him. He went back to his dad. He came back several times. But in the end, he could see that there was a difference. He could see there was a power in his mother's life that he'd never seen before. He saw the love that she had for him, even though he was treating her terribly. Eventually, he started asking questions. And he gave his life to Christ as well. And you know, the two of them, she was already an active missionary, witnessing every single place she went. Now her son went with her, and they would go to these villages, and they would go to every home, and they would talk to the people about Jesus. And so her prayers were answered beyond what she could imagine, because not only did she have her son back, but they were partners together serving the Lord. Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know, we are encouraged. And the one thing I didn't tell you about her is, as she spent that time in the Word and as she prayed, there was a peace and a joy that came over her that sustained her during that time. And she was bubbling over with it. And that's why she was such a powerful and effective witness. When I was there as a student missionary, I remember also I was staying for some time with a lady for about 6 weeks. She was a Russian lady, an elderly lady, a widow. I couldn't speak hardly a word of Russian, and she couldn't speak a word of English. We had our dictionaries, and we were trying to communicate, looking up a word, and you know how slow and impossible that is. But anyway, she fed me well and took really good care of me while I was staying there at her home. And we were having some meetings, and so I invited her to come to the meetings. And of course, there they had a translator, and she was able to hear. But she was friends with an Adventist lady, and this lady said, you know, she's been to meetings before, but she's just not interested. Doesn't seem like she will make a decision that she had any interest in Christianity. She'd been raised an atheist. Well, every day I would get up in the morning and I would pray, and I would pray for her, and I would pray, you know, for other things. The room that I was staying on didn't have a door. And I didn't know, but sometimes she'd peep around there and see me on my knees praying. And, you know, at the end of the series of meetings, when there was an appeal made for people to give their hearts to the Lord and be baptized and so forth, I was very surprised that she went forward and she was baptized. And as she gave her testimony, she said, you know, I peeped around the corner and I saw Darren praying, and I knew he was praying for me, and my heart was really touched. And so I decided to open my heart and give my life to the Lord. You know, prayer works in wonderful ways. And there are just so many things that we need to be praying for, so many people that we need to be praying for, so many issues and health needs and so forth. We must pray and not lose heart. If we ever needed to pray, we need to pray now. We are living so busy lives. We are rushing here and there. And you know, if we just rush into our prayer time and we list off our prayer and run out the door and off we go, that's not a blessing. God wants us to spend time with Him in prayer, where we have time to listen to Him as well. You know, prayer is a two-way thing. We open our hearts to God, we talk to Him, we request things of Him, but then He also will communicate with us. If we pause and just listen, you'll be surprised, and probably many of you can testify, that He impresses you with answers to you, the very things you're asking. He comes through with all kinds of things. And so prayer, there's a great blessing and a great refreshing and encouragement if we will spend quiet time just allowing Him to communicate with us, not rushing through it like it's a thing on our list of things to do that we've got to check and, you know, get on with the job. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. There was a lady who wanted to practice this, and this is what she did. In the morning when she got up, she would go to the hand basin and she would wash her face to wake up. And while she was doing that, she would pray, and she said, God, I pray that as I'm washing my face now, it makes me think of how You wash sinners and make them clean through the blood of Jesus. I pray that today You will be washing some sinners and making them clean. And then as she moved on and she was getting dressed, she would pray and she said, God, I pray today that You will clothe me with Christ, and that You will clothe me with humility. And then as she moved on and she started about her housework and she was sweeping the floor and so forth, it made her think of the parable where Jesus was talking about the widow who was sweeping her house looking for that lost coin. And she would pray and say, Lord, will you please sweep this world today and look for lost sinners and find lost sinners. And so everything that she was doing, she would relate it some way to prayer as to where she was communicating with the Lord. I believe that is the type of life that we should aspire to. Praying always, not losing heart, knowing that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want to share with you a few things I want to encourage you to pray for as I close. We are blessed now to have our Bible worker finding after nearly a year of praying, of raising money, of seeking for the right person, and God has brought Russell to us. And he's going to work hard. He's a diligent worker. He's a faithful worker. And God is going to work with him. Pray for him. Pray for those he's working with. And work with him as much as you can. Let's pray because God is going to bless. Another thing to pray for is camp meeting. Camp meeting is starting on Friday. And you know, we're told that these are the opportunities for God to pour out his spirit more than any other place, any other time, is at these holy convocations where we come together. But you know, God is not going to pour it out unless we're asking, unless we're expecting, and we're praying for that. So please pray for that. Pray that God is going to send his Holy Spirit more than has ever been experienced before at camp meeting. We need it. The time demands it that we're living in. Pray for this. And pray for one another. You know, there are many health needs in this church. Let's not forget those who have needs. Let's pray. And as we work together, as we pray together, God is going to richly bless us. Reed shared in the announcement time about prayer meeting. Friends, make that a priority. Come to prayer meeting. You know when God poured out the Holy Spirit back at Pentecost? That was when people came together to pray. We can pray at home, and that's a wonderful blessing, but when we come together, there is power that comes as a result of praying together. And I hope that you will mark that on your calendar. Come out to pray. It's a wonderful privilege to pray because Jesus said men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Before we bow our heads to pray, one last thing I ask that you would please pray for. Irenaeus and I in July are going to Tanzania to preach an evangelistic series each. And right now there are people doing Bible work there. Studying the Bible with people, preparing them for these meetings. And I solicit your prayers that God will touch their hearts, that God will touch many hearts, that they will make decisions for Christ, and that there will be a great harvest of these souls to join this great movement, the Advent movement. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the privilege of praying for others, praying for those who are lost, praying that they might come to Jesus and find salvation. Father, we know that this is the great burden of your heart, the burden of all heaven. And Jesus said that we should pray and not lose heart. We don't want to be discouraged ourselves with life's circumstances and hardships and difficulties. Father, we want to be encouraged as we read the promises, as we claim them, and as we receive sustaining grace. But Father, we pray that while we wait for that great day when you will come and reward us, we pray that we will be effective in praying for others and helping others to come to you too, that we may have the experience of this hymn we just sung, of praying for others and seeing them clothed as well as ourselves with that bright garment that you have prepared. Lord, bless us now as we leave this place. May we always remember that this is the high time of the week when we come to meet with you, and that we can rejoice knowing that soon, every week, we will be sitting at your feet, worshiping you in your presence. We pray that this memory will be with us constantly in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at MidlandSDA.org.